I have a two-week message called Of Shepherds and Sheep, and on your outline, I'll get you down to where we covered from last week. We said this, that we are setting forth to be seeing the Lord as our good and our great shepherd. And Jesus said this, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And if you would, today, join me as we take a look at the shepherd and his sheep. And here are some qualities of a good shepherd. A good shepherd is relational. A good shepherd is sacrificial. A good shepherd is protective and trustworthy. A good shepherd is consistent. A good shepherd is gentle but firm. And we'll find in Psalm 23 that those are the characteristics of the shepherd there, and these are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And if you're shepherding a family or shepherding a church or shepherding in the workplace, these ought to be true of you, that you're relational and sacrificial, protective, trustworthy, consistent, gentle, but firm. And by the way, let me make a little commentary on what George said. I'm not a metallurgist. I didn't know steel changed that way from lines to the, spheres. But boy, isn't that amazing. And spiritually, see, when the heat gets a little hot, we leave the furnace. We need to stay longer so God can make a significant change in our lives. And I just remember when Jacob was wrestling with God, and as morning came, Jacob said to God, I will not let go until you bless me. And God left that indelible mark on him and changed his name. And I think that's what happens to each of us as soon as we begin to struggle. And it may be God bringing about something good in our life. As soon as it hurts a little, we run the other way. And we ought to stay long enough until he blesses us. So those are some characteristics of shepherds. Now here are some characteristics of sheep. Sheep are social. They have a flocking and following instinct. They tend to gather together and they tend to follow a leader. Sheep can be picky eaters. They can be skittish. They respond to sights and sounds and smells and taste and touch. And they are definitely in need of a shepherd. And so we are like the sheep. We can be a bit picky at times. We can wander off at times. Respond to the things we see and the things we hear and the things we taste and the things we touch. But we definitely are in need of a shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So let's read the 23rd Psalm together. You can watch on the screen and read with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so last week I set out to share with you four reassuring and dependable relational qualities. Since the Lord is our shepherd. When the Lord is our shepherd. Because the Lord is our shepherd. And we got this far last week. Our shepherd is personal in partnership. And we spent some time speaking about the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. I do want to remind you that the first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when God is your shepherd, there are no fears, there are no worries. There's no need to wander off, there's no need to take anything into your own hand. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, All of you who are working so hard, all of you who are laboring in life, all of you who are so heavy laden, you're burdened down. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So let's move on. Secondly, our shepherd is perfect in provision. Okay, we saw that he is personal in partnership, and now we see he is perfect in provision. And this speaks about rest and restoration. Verses 2 and 3 say this, he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we look at these verses, we see they're about food and water. They're about a chosen path, a good plan for the future. They're about the shepherd's name. See, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. A flock that is agitated and disturbed does not do well in any sense. When they're agitated and disturbed, they tend not to follow the leader. They tend to go their own way. They tend to wander off. They tend to run in the wrong direction. There are four requirements for sheep to rest. There has to be a freedom of fear from predators without. There has to be a freedom from friction within the flock. Flocks have a flocking order, a pecking order. And usually it's head ewe sheep, the older female sheep that sort of set the tone for the rest of the herd. They follow the shepherd best. And the little sheep follow them as they follow the shepherd. So there needs to be a freedom of fear, a freedom of friction. They need to be free of parasites that work their way into the sheep's system. I'll tell you a little more about that today. And they need to be free from hunger or poor nutrition in order to have that rest, in order to be lying, you see, in the green pastures. He makes me to lie down in the green pasture. And so when we look at that picture, the picture is if the shepherd is nearby and provision has been made and the shepherd is calm, then the sheep will lay down in the green pasture. They'll graze and lie down and eat while they're resting. And it's a picture of solitude. It's a picture of trust. It's a picture of safety. It's a picture of perfect nutrition. Trust in the shepherd with abundant nourishment is the key. And then the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. We don't eat grass. We don't go to the pasture field. But see, we need a shepherd. And when the shepherd has all of the questions answered, and the shepherd is calm, and the nourishment is before us, we too can rest and grow. Without him, without that shepherd nearby, there's a spirit of fear and a spirit of intimidation that comes over the flock. Because if he's not watching out for them, they have to watch out for themselves. And I think how many times have we forgotten that we have a good shepherd who's watching out for us? And we take things in our own hands and we go our own way because we don't have our eye on the shepherd. And isn't it interesting that Paul said to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love, power and love, and a sound mind. Because he is our shepherd, we can live faithfully and productively. The green pasture is a resting place. Without it, without the green pasture there would be no rest. Now I can recall two times in my life that I was made to lie down, so to speak. And one is a significant remembrance in my life. It really had a good effect upon me spiritually. And the other one's just sort of funny. And I want to tell you both of those stories. About 23 years ago, I went into the hospital this time of year to have an arthroscopic cleanup of my left knee. And I contracted a staph infection that got into my blood before they realized what was going on. And a few days after I came home, I went back to the hospital, and they discovered what it was. I was in there for 11 more days, two more surgeries, and then IV antibiotics for weeks. And I really struggled for my life because the The attack from within was so strong. One antibiotic didn't work, the next one didn't work, the next one didn't work. And what they called the next to the last one finally worked. And we were able to contain it and get ahead of it. And that doesn't sound like a good, he makes me lie down. Now I want to say he made me lie down. It's interesting, before that happened, earlier in that fall, I had spoken to the elders and talked to myself about maybe I ought to take a sabbatical. Interesting, sabbat means seven or 70. A sabbatical is like 70 days off, a couple of months off, just to reorient. Thought about doing that, but we never followed through with that. Then I ended up in the hospital, and guess how many days of work I missed? 70 days. And God gave me that sabbatical. I missed Christmas. The preacher missed Christmas that year. You'd think that would be bad. That was the best thing. That was one of my best Christmases. On Christmas Eve that year, I listened to Reba on a cassette tape singing Christmas songs. And a family from church after Christmas Eve service brought me the Lord's Supper in Pittsburgh. But it was a quiet time when I was made to lie down. And I got my rest and I got reoriented, and God was able to restore my soul, so to speak, just because it all came together in one time. And so I would say, don't be afraid when God makes you lie down, when he makes you take a break, because he says something good in store. And the other time is pretty funny. It just happened on Friday, by the way. And I wasn't looking for an illustration, and it didn't occur to me till late in the day, you know, what God had really done. On Friday, I had a doctor's appointment in Cranberry at 7:20 a.m. And Kathy and I got up early, we got cleaned up and got dressed, and I took my medications, and we left home by 6:30 or so. And as I was driving to the doctor, I just became very sleepy and thought, why am I so tired? And I went to my appointment, and then Kathy's appointment was after mine. And as she was in the doctor's office, I could hardly keep my eyes open, and I fell fast asleep in the waiting room. And I'm thinking, what is the matter with me? And when we left, I felt like they had anesthetized me or something. And I told Kathy, you're going to have to drive. And she drove, and I slept hard in the passenger seat. We had some errands to run, and she took care of the first few. And after a while, I started to wake up some, and came back to church and worked a couple hours, took care of a couple ministry needs. And we had a quiet evening at home. Before bed, I was brushing my teeth, and I thought, I'll take another couple Tylenol, just for general aches and pains. I always sleep better when I do. And I picked up the new bottle on the counter, and I had my glasses on at night, didn't have them on in the morning, and here I had taken Tylenol PM in the AM, and was trying to drive the car and stay awake, and it like solved the riddle, like no wonder I had to lie down in the car, because it wasn't the shepherd, but it was the Tylenol that made me lie down that time. So he makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. Sheep are skittish. They prefer slow-moving, quiet water. A rushing stream is not where they'll take a step into to get a drink, yet they need water for life. See the picture? Without water, they'll die. Without water, we'll die. Without the water of life, we die spiritually. And when things are all stirred up, we might just thirst to death, because we don't feel confident to take another drink. But it is the shepherd who knows the best watering holes, and he knows the best quiet streams, and he takes the sheep there on purpose. Thirsty sheep become restless, and they'll drink polluted water if they don't have a fresh source. And these poor substitutes can be deadly. Now the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 said this, that when we live in the fullness of Christ and His body, the church, we are no longer like little children who are tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And that says, if you will trust the shepherd and if you'll drink only what He provides, you won't be tricked. Spiritually, you won't fall for the the pollution that becomes the substitutes of what's out there in the name of the Lord. In Christ, we won't be drinking from those polluted sources. In John chapter 7, Jesus said this, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out of him." He restores my soul. See, without the shepherd, the sheep would not make it. It's just plain and simple. Put that in your head. Without the shepherd, the sheep would not make it. In certain circumstances, they would just die. Now, even with the shepherd, in the shepherd's care, the sheep can get worn down and worn out. There's a particular circumstance where the sheep really need a shepherd to get them back up on their feet. See, a well cared for, fat, fluffy sheep can lie down, eats a while, lays over on its side, the center of gravity changes, its feet come off the ground, and then it is cast down. That's what it's called, a cast sheep. It's like what we call cow tipping, okay, which I don't think you can really do, but this is sheep tipping. Okay, not sheep dipping, sheep tipping. Okay, so imagine this fat sheep on this thick coat of wool, and it's down on its side, and it can bleat all at once, and it can kick all at once, and it can do everything it can, but one thing it can't do is get back on its feet. And so this cast down sheep needs the shepherd to come and lift it back up off of that cushion of wool. It's like the commercial, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." It's like those inflatable sumo suits, you know, that you put kids in, they run into each other, their arms are sticking out about that far, you just can't do anything for yourself. And the sheep has to be restored by the shepherd. And I would just say, see, in the position of ease, when we think we have it made, when we're not trusting the shepherd, when we're not standing on our feet, when we're lying down and fall over on our side, we too might find ourselves in trouble and we can't get back up. And understanding there's no hope but for the shepherd. And the same would be true for us. We can turn in every direction, but only Jesus can get us back up. Now see, David, in Psalm 42, the shepherd's psalm writer, in Psalm 42, David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" And maybe he had this picture, not just depressed, not just down under, but flopped over on my side and I just can't help myself. Why are you so cast down? Why so disturbed in me? And David tells himself, he tells his soul, "Put your trust in God. I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God." David knew what we must do. So we're to stay on the shepherd's path. It's a right path, and it leads to a good life. Sheep are creatures of habit. They go their own way. We already learned that. That means they're going to graze the same pasture over and over. They're going to walk the same path. They're going to stay in the same rut until they wear them out. Now, if you'll notice, our shepherd is going to start moving his sheep in this psalm, and that's for a reason, because the sheep, they'll eat the top of the grass, but if they have nothing else to eat, they'll eat it to the ground, and if they have nothing else to eat, they'll paw up the roots, and they can turn a grassland into a wasteland that never recovers. All it gets is junky grass. It has to be completely repasteurized, so to speak. It has to be dug up and planted if it's ever going to be good again. And so we see here that they need this shepherd to keep them moving onward and upward, following the best pasture through the seasons of the year and the life of the sheep. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." And that says we tend to stay in the same rut. We tend to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, but it's not going to work. And Jesus said this in John 10. He says, "The thief has only come to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I've come that they may have life and what? Life abundantly. He is our good shepherd. He's the one who leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thirdly, our shepherd is powerful in protection. This is about his rescue and his refreshing in our lives. Verses 4 and 5 say this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Let's talk about the rod and the staff. Now, if you notice, there's a turning point in the psalm here. In the first part of the psalm, the sheep is talking about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And now the sheep talks to the shepherd. It changes from second person to first person. It changes from my to I, from he to you. The sheep is saying, I have this need, you meet this need. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I walk, I have no fear. You are with me, your rod, your staff. You prepare a table, my enemies. You anoint my head, my cup runneth over. Lazy and neglectful shepherds graze the same pastures over and over. The good shepherd keeps the circuit going, following the best seasonal pasture. And in Israel, it means up and down mountains. It means going from, you know, the lowland to the highland, from the tableland to that hidden alpine meadow in the right season of the year. It means getting out of the high country before the snow comes. The shepherd is a wise manager. He's a risk taker. He's fully prepared to do what it takes to feed his flock and remember for his own name. That's why the shepherd does what he does. To make a living. To have a reputation. To say, these are good sheep in every way. And so there's nothing that surprises him. He desires the best for his flock. He's ready for rock slides. He's ready for poisonous plants in one meadow or pasture that may have not been in another. He's ready for the predators. Following the shepherd is the key in staying safe and being well fed. When he says no, you agree. When he says come over here, you go. He gives full attention to the safety and the condition of his flock day and night. His two greatest tools are his rod and his staff. Now his rod is a straight stick. It's cut from a sapling, shaped to the shepherd's right hand by himself. And we think of a rod just a rod being about this long, only for, you know, tapping sheep on the head or whatever, but it became a weapon that he would throw. It actually became an extension of his right arm. He would release it. It was his long-distance hand. And if a sheep, in fact, young shepherds have competitions, just like boys would do with slingshots or anything else, to see who can be the most accurate, who can throw the longest, and et cetera, et cetera. So if a sheep's out of line and he's way out there, the shepherd doesn't chase after him. The shepherd doesn't yell at him. The shepherd releases his rod and he can hit the sheep or hit beside the sheep. He can hit the sheep and it'll run to the flock. It can hit beside the sheep and scare it. It'll run to the flock. And he says, it says here that the sheep says, your rod comforts me. Why? It's an instrument of discipline because the sheep knows when we get out of line, you bring us back into line. That rod also could be released to scare away a predator. It keeps the enemy from coming in. And then it acts like his, thus saith the shepherd. I mean what I say, and I'll enforce what I say. It's a sign of strength and authority. It brings cooperation to the sheep. And to them, it's a comfort. Now the staff is a longer stick that has the cane shape on the top. And you see a serene picture of shepherds and see some old man shepherds leaning on their staff. It's a sign of serenity, a sign of comfort, a sign that all is well. But the shepherd uses that longer stick for several reasons. When a lamb is born and amongst the flock it can't find its mom, the shepherd takes that crook and moves the lamb toward its mom. Because if he touches it, she might reject the lamb once his scent is on the lamb's wool. And so he uses that staff to bring it closer. He uses that staff to rescue the lamb that might be down over the rock just a little bit. He uses it to bring home the lost and the perishing. Now God has a rod. See, the rod's used for rebuke and correction and training of how to be a good member of the flock. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy that the Bible is used for those reasons. The Word of God is used to teach and rebuke and correct and to train in righteousness, to thoroughly equip every Christian for all the good work that God has in store. So you could say to God, thank you for the rod of your Word in my life. And His staff is like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit turns our path, brings us back home, helps us find the nourishment through the Spirit of God. On Him we lean. He is our counselor, our guide throughout life. Now listen to what Jesus said. I think we really miss the main teaching of this most of the times that we read it or try to teach it. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, Jesus said this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be opened." And then he says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would he give him a snake?" And that is to say, a fingerling fish and a little snake could look the same. Would you trick your kids to say, "Daddy, I asked for a little fish and you gave me a snake"? Who would do that? Or if he asked for an egg, would he give him a scorpion and a wild fowl's egg laying off in the distance and a scorpion rolled up in a ball could look the same at a distance? And who would trick their child to give him a scorpion instead of an egg? And then Jesus said this, "If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" See, we read that verse and we think, ask and it'll be given. God, give me a new car. God, give me more money. This context is about more of God in you. And why wouldn't you want the staff of God, the spiritual staff of God, the Holy Spirit, more in you? Because it is through the Holy Spirit that we receive our comfort, our counsel, our guidance in life, just like the shepherd used his staff. So, Father, bring the staff of the Holy Spirit into my life in a strong and present way. Go home and pray that. Draw near to the shepherd. And the sheep says, "Listen, you prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. I receive the benefit from what you have done." See, the shepherd always goes before the sheep. He has a plan for the future. He's fully aware of everything that needs done. He clears the way. He scopes out the land. He finds the water sources. He understands the danger that might be out there. And doesn't the book of Hebrews in chapter 6 say our shepherd has gone before us? It says we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure, for Jesus who went before us has entered in on our behalf. There's no surprise to our shepherd. He's led the way in life and death. "And you anoint my head with oil." This wasn't a ritual that the shepherd did. Summertime for shepherds is fly time. And the flies need to lay their eggs. And in that pasture, guess where they find a place to lay their eggs? They get into the moist mucous membranes of the sheep's nasal passages and lay their eggs for the little baby flies to hatch. And when they do, that larvae goes deeper into the sheep, up into the sheep's head, and it'll drive the sheep crazy. They'll hit their heads off of rocks and trees. They'll run aimlessly. They won't eat. They won't drink because they have that inside of them, that fear. How do I get rid of this? What's wrong? Several years ago, Kathy and I were lying in bed, and she said, "I have something in my ear." And I said, "Really?" And she flew out of bed, and I had to get a flashlight, and I looked in her ear, didn't see anything. And we tried to lay back down, and she said, "I'm telling you, something's crawling in my ear." And we went to the emergency room. I thought maybe she had a brain tumor or something had gone awry. And she actually had an earwig. If you look that up in Wikipedia, it says they don't go in people's ears. Well, they do. That's the same as a little pinch bug that has a pincher on the back. And that thing went in her ear and spread its pinchers. And after several doctors looked at it, before morning came, one said, "I think I see it." And they sprayed an anesthetic in there, and it relaxed, and they pulled it out with tweezers. And she wasn't going crazy. But if they wouldn't have got it, my wife might have been beating her head off the walls of the house or running up down the hallway to say, this, and can you imagine? And so here's what the shepherd would do in fly season. He would make his own remedy. He would take some sulfur, linseed oil, and tar, and anoint the sheep's head with that, and that would keep the flies away and from going up into the sheep's nose. And so just as the shepherd made the antidote to keep the sheep from going crazy, the Lord is our antidote to keep us from losing our minds. Because there's times that we feel like, I can't handle it. I'm going crazy. I don't know what's going to happen. And we turn to God and say, anoint my head with your oil. And fourthly, our shepherd is pure in promise. That's verse 6. That's the reassurance. That's where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so here's what we see there at the end. What time is it, by the way? My clock quit working. 5 till. Okay. Here's what we see there at the end after all of the running over the hills and finding out about food and water and about rods and staffs and about anointing. The sheep sums up this psalm because David writes it from the sheep's perspective, not from the shepherd's perspective. And the sheep does this. The sheep just goes, "Oh, I sure like living in your house. I sure like being part of your flock." And so we have that saying, surely goodness and mercy shall be with me forever. As long as I live, I'm okay because I dwell in the shepherd's house. Our lives are full of goodness and mercy with God as our shepherd. In the Father's house, there's peace, not turmoil. There's forgiveness, not bitterness. There's contentment, not conflict. There's joy, not frustration. There's acceptance, not rejection. And do you know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. There is no lack in the abundant pasture. There's clean water. There's safety. There's protection. There's no fear. There's quietness and contentment. And we make the same conclusion. I think I'll just stay forever. And see, sometimes we're like sheep who've gone astray. Each to his own way. We're on the run. We forget how great the shepherd is. And I'd encourage you to go home and read it and reread it and claim it. You're the sheep and he's the shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen," meaning the Gentiles, not just the Jews. "I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there'll be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord." Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and I want to be. I decided that I would be. I have the authority to lay it down and take it up again. Not only is He our good shepherd, but the book of Hebrews says He is our great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13 says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will, And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. As we conclude, I just want you to remember, Jesus is not only your Savior, He is Lord of all. And Lord means master, it means boss, it means the one who sets the pace. And you can be safe. You can be safe from going to hell by Him being your Savior, and you can be safe in the shepherd's hands because He is Lord. Jesus is not just the good shepherd, Jesus is the good and great shepherd. Let's stand and we'll conclude by reading together the 23rd Psalm. It's on the screen. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.